What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Over the weekend, we had all of the campuses around the country have more of these protests, and now you've got university officials calling in for law enforcement support to remove a lot of these encampments because they are violations of school policy. Okay? You are not allowed to set up tents on the quad. You're not allowed to do these things. You're not allowed to congregate and loiter and whatever. So different campuses have different rules, and so they're enforcing the rules. And the organizers of the protest were told this. And if you want to continue to do the protesting, knowing the repercussions, then so be it, right? I mean, I have often said that if you're going to do the protesting and then they're just not going to charge you with anything, they're just going to, you know, maybe zip tie you, put you on a bus, drive you to the other side of town and let you off, or take you to the courthouse, you know, issue a notice to appear or something, and, you know, you walk and there are no fines, and then they drop the charges and there's no penalty. Is that really even protesting at that point? Like, it's like the die-ins I talk about where people just lay down in the middle of the sidewalk and they're like, I'm protesting, whatever. Like, you're not actually protesting anything. That's the least you could do to protest. It is literally the least thing you could do to protest, right? So if there's no consequence, if there's no punishment, then is it really even a protest? It's just you performing, right? It's just you pretending to be a theater major or using your theater major skills because you are, in fact, a theater major. And I say that as one who has performed in a few of the productions over the course of my life. I mean, it ended, you know, like in high school, but still, I mean, I was Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I was the Centipede in James and the Giant Peach. And I was the Alligator in Really Rosie. I also played a cop in Arsenic and Old Lace. But none of that is important. What is important is the performative nature of the protests. If you are not going to face any consequences, I'm not even so sure it counts as a protest, but everybody wants to have their Selma moment, right? This is it. It's like a badge of honor. You're like, look at me. I'm angry. You know, and you get the vibes and the feels for speaking truth to power and such, like at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So in this professor at Emory University, what's her name here? Caroline Folin, and she goes up and lightly hits a cop on the back of the head as he's making an arrest. And another cop then arrests her for assaulting the cop and for interfering with an arrest. And she's telling the police officer, as she's resisting, of course, she's telling the cop, I'm an economics professor. I'm a professor. And the student who's videotaping this while screaming that the cops are fascists, that they're dogs, that they're Hitler, may you never live to see another day, like that kind of stuff. And then he's videotaping it on his phone and he's saying, I'm going to share this. I'll share this out. Like, yeah, you did your part for the revolution, buddy. Good job. Like, do you not see how silly you look? How comical and cartoonish you are. And then there's this from the UNC Chapel Hill SJP, which is the Students for Justice in Palestine. They've been the national organization is like a leading organizer for these protests. And they put out a statement. They've been putting out a lot of statements over the last few days. They say for nearly 7 months, UNC SJP has asked to meet university administrators to discuss the community's demands. That's the way they pretend that they are a larger community or a larger, they have larger numbers than they actually have, I should say. It's like, oh, we represent the community. What is the community exactly? Is it Hamas sympathizers? Is it people who don't want war but are okay with, like, Hamas claiming credit for launching the latest round of rocket attacks on Israel today? Like, the anti-war crowd is like, yay, rocket attacks by Hamas, right? That community? Okay. They say that they've been demanding disclosures of UNC investments and demanding divestment from companies that benefit from Israeli apartheid and the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Administrators, resolute in their insistence upon maintaining the genocidal status quo, have continuously ignored student demands for divestment and compliance with international law. See, here's the thing that a lot of these leftists, and just for the record there, I did not say Democrats. Note, I did not say Democrats, Bill, I said leftists, right? See, and if you don't want to be lumped in with the leftists, then show some daylight between leftism and Democrat policy, right? Unfortunately, the problem for Democrats that are not leftists is that there are so many people inside the Democrat Party that are or refuse to condemn. I heard, for example, Jabril Huff called into Vince Coakley today. And tappity tap 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 dance all over the place. Wouldn't answer questions, deflects off of the a difficult question about Hamas and a two-state solution. And it's always, you know, bring it back to the Jews. Bring it back to focus on, you know, focus the hate and the criticism on the only entity that they believe deserves it. And they never stop to consider what John Fetterman, U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, told these protesters who approached him outside while he was sitting on a bench drinking a soda or something outside the Capitol. And they approached him and they're like, we want to talk with you about it. And he's like, look, I'm pro-Israel. You're pro-Hamas. There's nothing to talk about. It's like, we're done. Oh, no, we just want to talk with you. Why? I'm pro-Israel. There isn't anything you're going to, there's nothing you're going to say to me to convince me to change my opinion. I know the issue. We're done. And they never, the protesters never stop to consider that as adamant as they are in their beliefs, that people on the other side are in theirs as well. And so this idea that, like, you've ignored our demands, correct. We have. We don't agree with you, right? But they just need to listen to us. They did, and they disagree. What you're demanding is that they submit, right? You're demanding that they submit to the will of Hamas, submit to the will of SJP, submit to the will of leftism. That's what you're demanding of them, and they are not going along with it. They disagree for whatever reasons. Some of it is existential, like, for example, they themselves might be Jewish and they're afraid they're going to get murdered. Or maybe at a collegial level or at the university level, they're afraid that the donors are going to stop donating money to the college and then the college isn't going to be able to employ all of the people that are employed, right? So they're afraid of for the existence of the university, right? Or just at a fundamentally philosophical level, they don't agree with your position. They just disagree. And your demand isn't actually a demand. It's a request. I'm not sure you're aware of the difference, but your, quote, demand is in fact a request. You know why? Because you can't make that happen. You don't control the university, but you think you do. And that's the adult's fault. That's the adult's fault. They have coddled so many generations into believing that their requests are in fact demands. And once they make that request in the form of a demand and throw in a little bit of performance art, you're going to get what you demand. And now this is your first experience, just like this professor that got arrested, your first experience with people not doing what you want them to do when you demand they do it, but also consequences. You are now facing consequences. Oh no, I got thrown out of my dorm room because I wanted to overthrow the institution. Yeah. See, you didn't have the power in that relationship. And which is weird because as Marxists, you guys should know all about power dynamics. Let us go back to the phone lines. and talk to Tom. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Listen, let me, I'll be real quick. My comments are short today, but I want to tell you something. Whether I agree with you or not, you are big, you are thoughtful, and I'm going to tell you, man, I have a higher degree than four years. You are bigger than WBT. You really need to be on national radio because you think. Now, I want to get that out of the way. Is that okay?
Are you just saying that to get rid of me, Tom?
No, sir. I'm just saying it because okay. You kind of remind me of a thought. You're not just a talking head, and I'm not kidding, man.
I appreciate that.
When you say something, it holds water, okay? So
I'm going to give you the email address for my wife, and if you wouldn't mind just sending that same thought along to her, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay, I'll get to my point.
All right.
In a second. Number one, those protesters, one of your callers said, I think he's running for office, I'm not sure, but anyway, he said they were Democrats, but nobody really knows whether they're Democrats, Republicans, independents, or not registered at all. So I'm just going to say that those are people out there just doing their thing, and we don't want to just paint them as Democrats because they're just young people doing what they do, and that's all I want to say. Okay?
So there were two calls. There was Bill, and then there was Congressman Dan Bishop. So Bill said that I was lumping everybody in and I was calling all of them Democrats, which I've been very clear about this. Like, I make a distinction between leftists and Democrats, liberals and leftists, for example, like because there is a difference. Now, the problem that the Democrat Party has is that those kids that are going to these protests, when going to vote, they will generally vote for Democrats. And that is and you see it reflected in the polling. Democrat Party strategists are saying this stuff. They are concerned that they are going to lose a lot of those voters that may not be registered Democrats at all. They could be unaffiliated, like you said, right? But they, but those kids, you know, when you're young, if you're not a liberal, you have no heart, right? And if you're not a conservative, when you get older, you have no brain. That old joke. Well, the kids more likely vote for Democrats. And if the Democrat position on Israel and Hamas is driving a wedge between the party and that younger group, that's a problem because they need those kids to vote for Democrats. Now, that doesn't make those kids Democrats per se. Now, what I have called the protesters and the especially like the organizers and the people that are there that are true believers, it is a Marxist protest movement. That's at the heart of this. And a lot of Democrats are not Marxists, but all the Marxists, right, they vote Democrat.
Okay. Well, anyway, it wasn't you. It was the guy that's running for elected office. But thank you for allowing me to say that.
All right, Tom. Do you do work as a radio host agent? Would you want to rep me as my agent in order to? All right. No, I'm just kidding. Tom, I appreciate the call. That's very kind of you. But I do try to make the distinction. I thought Dan Bishop did as well, and that was his point, is that his concern is that the Democrat Party has now become so co-opted by that ideology, that far leftist mindset and philosophy, that they can't fight back against it. And he said you can make arguments about, you know, the Republican Party as well, and that's what Bill was trying to reference in the call before Dan. And that's true. Yeah, there are factions inside. I've been saying this for years. The parties are realigning, and we don't know how they're going to shake out. So if Democrats want to preserve a free market, capitalist, liberal democracy kind of philosophy for their party, they're going to have to do some rooting out in their own ranks. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? I do have messages. I guess I should go ahead and read them because I just said I had some. Okay. This is from Joe. He says, can we send 100 students to China to live for 1 year, please? Right. This is regarding the Marxists that are that were speaking at George Washington University. By the way, Harvard has fallen, in case you weren't aware. Harvard has fallen. They took down the American flag and they hoisted the Palestinian flag. Which is interesting because after the October 7th massacre of Israeli women and children and civilians by Hamas, they asked the local Jewish community, whatever, asked for the Israeli flag to be hoisted, and Harvard said no. So that was their mistake. See, don't ask. Just do it. Right? New rules. Just do it. J.H. Rock says that Emory professor who got arrested after hitting a cop and then saying, I'm an economics professor. Please take the handcuffs off of me. Like she shouldn't get arrested for assaulting a cop, even as she admits on video that she impulsively hit a cop in the head to get his attention, just to get his attention as he was trying to arrest one of these keffiyeh-wearing moonbats. And she hits him, and then she thinks she should just escape any kind of repercussion for that. J.H. Rock says the professor of economics did not accurately assess the marginal benefit versus marginal costs. That's that is true. The Marxist that was ranting and raving at George Washington University about dismantling the capitalist, imperialist, colonizing system here in order to liberate Palestine, because that's the only way you're going to liberate Palestine is to destroy America. That was his argument. And have a socialist revolution. Melissa says the U.S. is the greatest colonizer. I recall the British motto that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Know some history. And then Jim responded that also the Romans. Yeah, Romans were a pretty big one. You know who's like the biggest, though? The Muslims. have you seen how much territory they've taken? And I'm not saying that like, ooh, bad Muslims. Although I'm sure for the people that got their heads chopped off for not converting, they would think so. But there are a lot of civilizations across the world and throughout history that have engaged in conquering. Right. Genghis Khan, he was pretty prolific as well. Right. There are a lot of different colonizers that are out there that have done a pretty good job in the Islamic Caliphate, not the least among them. So I don't know. It just seems like you guys are, ignoring that society. I don't know. Is it Islamophobia or something? Well, you're ignoring their history or something. Maybe you're, appropriating their success. Oh, the Vikings. There you go, Melissa. Also, the Vikings, right? They were pretty good at the conquering. I don't really know about the colonizing, though, per se. As I understood it, they were more of the pillaging type. Burn it to the ground, salt the earth, kill all the males, take the women. Right? That kind of thing. Josh, welcome to the program. Hey, Josh, how are you?
I can't complain about yourself, Mr.
Well, I mean, I do it for a living, but other than that, I'm pretty good. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about the pro-Palestine protest mm-hmm. going on around the United States right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm downright sick with it, like to the point of, being nauseated. Mm. And it's just getting to a point where, these college campuses need to do something. They need to throw these people off a campus.
Some are starting. That happened over this weekend, and that's why you're seeing a lot of this reaction. So always keep in mind that when it comes to these the tactics of leftists like Saul Alinsky kind of stuff, the Marxist tactics, it is the reaction is the action, right? They're trying to induce this very reaction. So then they can claim victim status and thereby gain control of the situation and invert the power dynamic. That's the whole point. That's why they do what they do. And it, like you said, it takes universities standing up and saying, you're violating the policies, you got to leave. And if you're not going to leave, you will be removed. And some of them have started to do that.
And definitely, especially, you know, these Ivy League schools and all like that, you know, I say if they still continue that behavior, then they need to be punished on the job market and say, hey, we're not going to hire these Ivy League kids or anything like that just because of what they stand for. And that's my point, and I appreciate you for having me on.
All right, man. I appreciate it, Josh. This was on Friday. I read The Warning to the Woke Youth from James Lindsay. And he told these woke kids, if you win, if your movement wins, right, your Marxist movement wins, you lose. And if you lose, you lose. Those are your options now, right? Aside from the third way, which would be to repent, basically, and get off of the Marxist train. Because all of these kids, right, this has been the way in all Marxist revolutions. Right, you use the kids like Mao did it, Khmer Rouge, Hitler Youth, right? All the brown shirts, like they all did this same sort of tactic, and you use the youth because they are easily manipulated, right? They're seeking to be part of some larger thing. There's peer pressure involved. They don't know what they don't know. They have no experience. Their brains aren't fully formed yet, and you get to have your way with them, especially if you get control of the education system. And if you don't believe me, just look at Palestine. Sorry, Gaza, and the West Bank. They've been feeding their kids for the last three generations now, maybe two to three generations. They've been feeding them a steady stream of propaganda, teaching them to murder Jews. It's on their kids' programming stations, right? On the TV stations. Like, you know, we would get How a Bill Becomes a Law with Schoolhouse Rocks, you know, and they get How to Murder a Jew. So there's a real world right now contemporary example, I should say, of how this manifests. And it's not good. I mean, the results are not good. But in all of these situations, once the destabilizer's job is done and the institutions and the societies have been destabilized, well, then the communists take over. And when that happens, they don't need destabilizers. Now you want stable government. You want a stable society. And all of a sudden, all your intersectional community groups are gone. As Lindsay pointed out, have you seen any kind of a trans movement in China? Why? Are there no trans people in China? Why is that? Right? Why don't they separate their different groups of people like we are always separating our groups of people? And by the way, Marxists know that conflict is how they gain control. And so they're always seeking ways to separate us. And as the defector in the 80s pointed out, is like Brezhnev, or I forget his name, but he talked about this, like black, white, green, yellow, it doesn't matter. Find a division, exploit it. That's the whole point. And then once the exploitation is done, it has been successful, the society is destabilized, now you need to wipe out all the kids, all the destabilizers. You're gone. If you won't get in line with the program and start, you know, you sell your soul and you become a part of the state, then there's no use for you. And if you lose, you lose also because no one wants to hire you, as Josh said, because your degree just proves that you came from some woke factory and your major is fascism. Denver's Democrat Mayor Mike Johnston has bent over backward to cater to leftists, but he found out he's just another bleeping fascist to them now. See, this is why I always make the point, as I did with caller Bill, caller Tom, right? I'm not saying all Democrats, hashtag not all Democrats, they're not all on the same page with the Maoist cultural revolution that we are witnessing on our college campuses. And I believe that that is what we are witnessing. And this is very, very dangerous. And that's why I keep talking about it, because if you know history, you saw the way this goes. And so there are things, James Lindsay talks about this as well over at newdiscourses.com, which is to identify what they are doing, right? To call them out, but also limit the physical confrontations, because as I said, the the reaction is their action, right? They're trying to induce this. Why do you think they walk? Have you seen this tactic where the crowd will walk and push up against cops and they put their hands above their heads and they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and walking and walking? What are they hoping to initiate? A response, right? They want the cops to take down the 65-year-old professor who's like, I'm just a professor. Take these handcuffs off me. Like, you hit a cop. But they want their martyrs. They need people to be victimized by a cop, by the state, by the government. And the kicker on all of this is that the people that are encouraging it and enabling it are the very people that the youth guard here is going to turn on first. We're seeing it right now. This is who they initially turn on, are the very people in the institutions where the youths are. So in Denver, you've got this Democrat mayor, and he went down Friday. He went down to the site of Auroria campus, where a bunch of kids were trying to set up their little Marxist enclave in what was a futile attempt to reason with the unreasonable. The mayor tried to calmly explain that their presence was disrupting normal college operations for other students who were there to learn and not to protest. But the occupiers were rude and dismissive when Johnston asked them to leave. And so they said, if they wanted to know, do you support genocide? The overused term for Israel's military campaign. You know, dropping F-bombs on the mayor. He says, I'm going to talk for like 60 seconds and I'll walk. If you want to listen, you can. If not, that's your choice, he said. We have no desire to make arrests. He says the tents are a violation of campus policy and the kids could stay and keep protesting. All you little Marxists can keep chanting your, you know, genocidal slogans. You can keep doing that if you dismantle the tents within 30 minutes. If you don't, cops are coming in to take them down. And so what do the protesters scream at him? That it's, quote, it's more of the same. Our demands are not being met. There it is again. Our demands are not being met. What, there is a word for somebody who makes demands on people and refuses to allow them to say no. Right? While at the same time complaining that you're the victim. Right? This is narcissistic behavior. Absolutely. These are cry bullies. That's what they are, cry bullies. And it is a tactic. And they have so internalized it, it is who they are now. They called him a fascist. A fascist who told them, you got 30 minutes to take down the tents, and then you can keep chanting your genocidal slogans. And that makes the Denver mayor, a Democrat, a fascist. Right? It's absurd. Let me see here. Let me get to some emails. When you said springtime in Charlotte just now for the promo, you reminded me of the producers. I did, Neil. Yes. Springtime in Charlotte. Okay. I told you I had theater in my background. this is from, I don't know, hashtag Trump2024. One name, Ilhan Omar. Not sure how anybody can say these kids are just being kids without understanding how children are taught and by whom. They just eliminated bail, right? And they've been getting bailed out by some organizations as well, right? That's why I said this is AstroTurf. This is not a grassroots effort. Yes, there are kids that are at these protests that don't know what all they're being fed. But when you get up and cheer for the dismantling of a capitalist system, you have an idea. If you're cheering, you have an idea. If you're standing in the crowd when that stuff is being screamed and you don't know what they're talking about, first off, that's an indictment on our education system, right? But also, maybe you should figure that out. Maybe you should understand what this protest is really about rather than just like an opportunity to hang out with that cute girl from your econ class. You know, maybe you don't want to be pictured there. Now, one of the other things is don't hire college graduates. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.